Hello everyone, and welcome back to my podcast. Now I think about it, I'm your host, Stram. Today I'm going to do something a little different. I mentioned it in my initial show synopsis, my very first episode. Go back and check that out. That is the introduction to me. I mentioned that I am very into literature, I'm into music, I'm into pop culture. So I thought it would be a really good opportunity to look at two different texts, two different artifacts, if you will, and kind of compare them based upon some of the similarities. Because I'm starting to see a very common theme in the Black community, which is in literature, movies, TV, we're starting to use the same familiar archetypes, and they are definitely cementing the wrong ideas with our kids. It is a possibility I will make this a series, so respond back to me, let me know. If, you know, this is kind of something you guys are into, I could possibly make it a segment of its own, but it will be looking at the historical context of both movies and TV and music. So if you guys are interested in things like that, hit me up, let me know. I definitely can go in depth with that because that's the kind of thing I'm into. For this show, for my first analysis, I will be comparing a movie and a song. The movie is Purple Rain. The movie starring the semi-biopic about Prince's life, which happens to be my favorite movie. And also a song I was privy to recently, which is called The Pieces of a Man by Gil Scott-Heron. So first, I'll give you the background of Purple Rain. I'll give you the background of Pieces of a Man. Then, you know, I'm gonna walk you through some really familiar archetypes that are in both movies that are still prevalent in movies today. So today, I'll be looking at these two different texts and paralleling the hardships that are depicted in the movie, the hardships that are depicted in the song, and also how they are familiar in Black life, and how movies and TV keep perpetuating these ideas to maybe create a cycle. So, to get started, I'm gonna give y'all some operational definitions to kind of interpret the information a little better. So, an archetype, as defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is an original from which all other types are a copy. One familiar archetype in a lot of Black movies are that a mother is on drugs. If you think of multiple Black movies, you can think of the mother being on drugs or her being absent due to the use of drugs. And also, I will define marginalization, which is to relegate a group or a person to a powerless position. Marginalization is, for example, how the Black community has been treated since our entrance to America. We've always been treated to an inferior position, and at some times in our history, we've been in inferior positions. So now I define those. I'm going to go ahead and get into my analysis of Purple Rain. Purple Rain is a semi-biopic of the artist formerly known as Prince, about his life, about his music career, and about some of the things that went on in his childhood and things behind the scenes. It was directed by Albert Mangoli, and it tells a story of him coming from a very abusive home where his father was an alcoholic and abused his mother. They also came from a long line of failed musicians,
which contributed to some of his angst and anxiety about being successful. His father stayed home, played, taught him how to play music, write music, but in his beauty was his madness, because he was a severe alcoholic, beat his mother, and this eventually led to the father taking his own life after severely beating his mother toward the closing of the movie. In this movie, it shows that Prince is biracial. He has a black father and a white mother, and it often shows the mother in a very victim role. She, even in the way the scenes are shot, she's often on the floor or beneath her husband in an inferior position. And in multiple scenes, she literally asks Prince for help in order to mediate her and his father's arguments, fights, what have you. So, yes, it yet again shows that white woman is the victim and black man is the aggressor. And it shows that Pieces of a Man is a song by Gil Scott-Heron off of his first studio album, which was released in 1971. It is told from a first-person point of view, where Mr. Heron speaks of his father receiving a pink slip. He is fired from his job, and that basically starts his spiral downwards. He refers to his father as Pieces of a Man, and in this piece, we only hear of the story of the child, the father, and a grandmother. No maternal, motherly person is found in the song that we know of. And through the process of Mr. Heron's father losing his job and the process of time, he ends up incarcerated. And how often do we see black men being victims to poverty and trapped inside of a cycle of diminishing return? So today I will cover three very popular archetypes that are present in both of these types of literature and that are still present in today. I'll link them back to like their relevance today, and I will tell you why we should do a better job of patrolling and policing the influences we let out on popular. So the overarching theme of my analysis is marginalization, and I have a couple major archetypes, areas that everyone will find familiar that come through in both these texts and that are perpetuated up until today. The first topic I want to cover is the effects of disappointment. In the African American community, the black father is under a lot of pressure, a lot of scrutiny. Just as often as black fathers grow up in homes with fathers that, you know, can be positive influences or that grew up in homes that co-parent, there are a lot of children that grow, black men in particular, that grow up in homes without proper supervision and without proper mentorship, because they don't have fathers there. They don't have proper male influences there. And in Purple Rain, we see Prince's father is a severe alcoholic. He is very abusive toward his father and toward him. He is in a constant cycle of depression, and this eventually leads him to taking his own life due to all the pressures that were forced upon him by society and his family in order to fit inside of a certain mold. Prince's father was also a musician, and his failure in his music career is one of the main things that spawned his alcoholism and his abuse. And Prince, even being the second generation, had to carry this curse in a way, because as he was going about his music career in the movie, one character even tells Prince that he is a washed up old musician. He's never going to be anything just like his father. So as a generational curse of sorts, Prince's father was under all this pressure, and it subsequently got passed down to his son. In Pieces of a Man, Gil Scott-Heron is seeing his father, and one main thing that stuck out to me was Pieces of a Man never speaks of Gil Scott-Heron having a mother. So assuming Gil Scott-Heron's mother is absent, is deceased, is gone, why is the father carrying all this responsibility? In the song, it only speaks of Gil Scott-Heron, in the first person, his father, and his grandmother. That brought up the question to me, is this his paternal grandmother, which would be his father's mother? And why is she staying in the same house with them? Is this a reference to the black father having to be a strong leaning post in the black family, since there may be the mother is absentee gone because she wants to, or it's powers out of her control, so therefore he has to both support the grandmother and the son? And also, where is the paternal grandfather? If this is his mother, where's his father? Could his mother have never been married to his father, therefore she raised him as a single mother? Or could he have had a father that is now deceased, and as a son, it is his moral burden, his moral responsibility to take care of his mother? And with Gil Scott-Heron growing up in this house where he can obviously see his father is under much pressure, much scrutiny, on the day in which is talked about in the song, the father is fired from his job. And he says that on that day, he literally saw his father change. So what can we gather from this? Society will put pressure upon everyone. And when it comes to men, when it comes to women, when it comes to especially black men, there are pressures that are, it seems, our obligational burden to take care of our people. And when it comes to black men, they have the same obligational burden to take care of both their people and their family, to provide. And oftentimes they feel trapped under this idea, so they do things in order to escape, to provide, to seem relevant. So in Purple Rain, his father takes one option and ends his own life, and as basically a way to escape from the problems of the world. And in Pieces of a Man, Gil Scott-Heron's father ends up incarcerated. So whether he was doing things to try to provide for his family, or he just simply reached a breaking point, both men ended up falling victim to the cycle of disappointment, and therefore disappointing their sons and putting their sons in that exact same cycle. Another very common archetype in the black community is a lack of adequate psychological help and care. Assuming that Gil Scott-Heron did not have a mother, maybe his mother is deceased or not present, it is obvious that anyone
in a situation as stressful as that may need someone to talk to, should have someone to talk to, someone to turn to. But oftentimes, as a pillar of the Black home, Black fathers don't show weakness, and they associate needing help or talking to someone with them being weak and not being able to handle problems on their own. So we see there is no presence of help or anyone else in Pieces of a Man to help the father. And in Purple Rain, we see a father that obviously is self-medicating. Going through the movie, they give kind of brief snippets of history and background on the father's career. Once upon a time, he was very successful. He wrote beautiful songs, and in the movie Purple Rain, he is heard playing a few arias, and he's a beautiful musician. So it brings into question what happened to him. Why is he not still successful? Why is he not still at the peak of his prime? Obviously, his alcoholism has taken over his life and has started to affect all of his relationships around him, especially the two people that are the closest to him, his wife and son. And by starting to self-medicate, he feeds into the cycle of addiction. And by giving his problem drugs, and by giving drugs. Thirdly, we're going to look at the context of these two pieces. My last two points have been looking at the content, but this is more about the context, because for my third point, I want to touch on how media does a very poor job of showing how multi-dimensional Black men are. We may concede and say that a movie, a song, a motion picture may only fit inside of a small window of time. But a lot of times, a lot of content fails to show how multidimensional Black fathers are and kind of pigeonholes them in a specific role. In both pieces, both fathers are sole breadwinners. They are the providers. That cements the idea that men are only good for what they can give to the family rather than them as an individual. At the same time, these two Black men are trying to be providers for their family. Behind the scenes, they're dealing with the context of racism, behind economic oppression. There are a lot of contributing factors to their behavior that they exhibit, but a lot of times we only see it as, you know, Prince's father is a drunk because he's bad at his music. But it may be something much more deep than that. We fail to see all of the little nuances about the character and about where the character could possibly go and all of the possible viable options that we can add to the archetype to just simply make a character seem more realistic, more humanistic, easier to get in touch with rather than just a one-dimensional character. In Gil Scott-Heron's Pieces of a Man, whether it is the genius of artistry or a fault of artistry, we have somewhat of a vague description of the father. Basically, all we hear is he works, he tries his best is not good enough, and eventually that pushes him down a ugly path. What does that say? That may mean that the vagueness of this character was done intentionally, and that can feed into the idea that, yes, a lot of times that, just like in the song by Simon and Garfunkel, it's called My Little Town, people just go through the motions. That we see the body, we see the face, but we don't see the person inside. And eventually, whenever that person inside has to break away, has to break free, it may not always be positive. So what can we do as the consumer to make companies, make writers, producers give us more well-rounded, more full-bodied characters rather than typecasting black artists, black actors to play specific roles. We demand it. We ask for it. How will a need be met if they know not of the need? Okay, so in closing, I want to go ahead and just say thank you to you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If you ever want any more information on any of my podcasts, if you ever have a topic to contribute, I am always near. Drop a line. I will be leaving my link below so that you can get in touch with me on any of my social medias. Thank you to everyone that continues to support me. Thank you to everyone that follows me, that listens to me. And I just have a few takeaways that I want everyone to kind of be on the same page with. The first one is that as a culture, as a society, for too long, we have stigmatized black men in order to fit inside of a certain box, in order for them to be successful. They would have to have families. They would have to work a job. They would have to do this, have to do that. But in an ever-changing age, we need to open up our minds. It's a lot of subcultures that we no longer pigeonholed or put under a rug. But black men still to this day are seen as quote-unquote super predators, or they are misunderstood. And when it comes to TV and media, they depict black men as being demonstrative and aggressive by beating women, especially women of other races, to make it seem as if black men are overtly aggressive or aggressive to the point in which everyone else needs to be protected from them. But maybe it may be the other way around. Maybe we need to protect our black men from the world. Because when it comes to areas like mental illness, when it comes to areas like behavioral issues, there are a lot of times, a lot of misnomers, and our kids are getting labeled, judged, put in subcategories that they do not belong in just because of a misunderstanding of our culture or a misunderstanding of an individual. And that misunderstanding of an individual comes from us not being fully aware of how multidimensional people are. How is it that in the 21st century, we still can look at any one person and say that they have very little context, they have very little to offer, that when you see them, you only see aggression? They have the internet like you. They read books like you. They do everything that you do. And it is a sad cry for humanity that we always, always want to separate people by their differences rather than joining people together by what makes them the same. So thank you so much for everyone that helped me with this. I had a lot of people that gave me special insights, special shout outs, wish me well wishes with this, and are waiting for me to drop this. So if you ever have any questions, anything you want to hit me up and talk to me about, I am here. My name is Alicia Strambler, also known as Stram. Thank you today for tuning in to Now I Think About It, and you have a blessed day.